words to speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name. Please be seated. A 10-year-old boy was becoming quite knowledgeable in the Bible because his grandmother was teaching him from the Bible every day. And one day he asked his grandmother, "Grandma, whose virgin is the mother of Jesus? Is it the Virgin Mary or is it the King James Virgin?" Well, I'm not going to be talking to you today about the King James Virgin, but rather about the Virgin Mary. So if you get out your bulletins and turn to our gospel lesson that we just heard read, we read that an angel came to a city of Nazareth to a virgin, and that virgin was pledged to be married to Joseph, who was a descendant of David. Now that's important because Joseph being a descendant of David, allowed Jesus to become his legal son, and thus, because the Jews looked forward to the Messiah coming, they believed that the Messiah was going to come through the line of David. And so, the angel says to a virgin. Now that word virgin in the Old Testament usually meant a maiden, a young maiden of the age of 14 or under. But Luke uses the term meaning not only a young maiden, but a young maiden who has never had sexual relations. And so he made it important, he made it evident to his readers that this was actually a virgin with whom God now was going to conceive his son with him. And so the place with which the angel visited was Nazareth, which was a small town of around 1,600 to 2,000 people. And it says that the angel came to the virgin named Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." You may recognize the Latin translation of that, "Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum." Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. In verse 31, this verse follows the typical Old Testament birth announcement that we read in examples like Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, which says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Now it's interesting that this prophecy, this messianic prophecy, was given hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, and yet we see that it was actually fulfilled in Christ, in that a virgin would conceive and give birth to a son who would then be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel really is a descriptive title of who Jesus was. And that word Emmanuel means God with us. And so Mary was wondering about this, how this was going to happen. And in verse 29, she wondered at these words and the greeting that this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Now the name Jesus means he who will save. And so Jesus is not only God with us, but also the one who will save. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." So Christ's mother was a virgin. And it's important that she was a virgin because of a number of reasons. First of all, this is not going to be an ordinary sperm and egg generation. This is going to be a miraculous conception. It was important that this was a miraculous conception because while Jesus was born as a human being, he also was not born with a sinful human nature that we all have. You and I are born with a sinful nature. That's a nature that has a proclivity to sin, to disobey God's commandments. But Jesus was not born with a sinful nature. And he was not born with that sinful nature because of this miraculous conception. He can now be a righteous Savior because of that. So how did this miraculous conception happen? Well, Mary was wondering the same thing. And in verse 34, she said, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Mary knew how a child was conceived. She knew that she had not had any sort of relationships with that would cause a pregnancy to happen. And so she was wondering, how in the world am I going to get pregnant in this way? Well, the angel said, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. When the Holy Spirit comes upon a person, they become full of grace. They become full of charisma. The Holy Spirit will become the fertilizer of the egg within Mary, and the power of God will come upon her, and she will conceive a holy child who will be called the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. This tells us that Jesus, being born as a human being, would not just be fully human, but he would also be fully divine. Jesus would not just be born in the womb of a virgin, but he would be born in the womb of a virgin who was pledged to be married. Now, this is significant because it gives the pregnancy of Mary and Joseph legitimacy. This was not a pregnancy out of wedlock, but it was a pregnancy in the context of a marriage that was taking place. And this pregnancy was now considered legitimate by God instead of a pregnancy that would be out of wedlock. Have you ever thought about the fact that Jesus was conceived in a virgin womb, but later would be buried in a virgin tomb, all representative of the fact that he was absolutely pure while he was on this earth? We see that Mary also is dignified. She is highly favored of God. In his choice of her to be the mother of the Messiah, that placed special honor upon her, honor given to no other woman before or after her. Jesus is called in Scripture the second Adam, in that he fulfilled the role of Adam that Adam could not fulfill. Jesus was completely obedient to his Father, the Creator, as Adam was not able to be completely obedient. And so Eve was called the mother of all the living. And in a sense, Mary was now the second Eve, in the sense that she was the one who would give birth to the one who would give eternal life to all who believed in him. She also has the presence of God with her. The Lord is with you, the angel said. And though Mary did not have many financial resources, did not have a whole lot to live on, she was someone who was going to be highly blessed. She had no way of knowing that she and Joseph would, soon after the birth of Jesus, receive gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And because of that, she and Joseph would then be able to live comfortably for a good while after that. One writer I read said this, quote, "This was perhaps now forecasting how God would provide a way to get a livelihood and maintain a family in the married state." So in verse 38, Mary responds to this amazing announcement, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." So we see in Mary a willingness to be a servant of the Lord and to do whatever the Lord tells her to do. Wouldn't that be something great for us to aspire to in our lives? So there are a number of things that we can learn from the life of Mary. First of all, we learn from Mary that God had a plan for her life. And the angel came and revealed that plan to her. Now, I believe that God has a plan for each one of us, and that God can reveal that plan to us in a number of ways. Sometimes he can reveal that plan to us through another person. We might be given some guidance by someone who could lead us then into the plan that God has for our life. Sometimes God's plan can be revealed to us through the pages of Scripture. I remember when I was first feeling called to be a priest in the Episcopal Church, I asked God to give me some confirmation of that, some sort of indication that I was on the right track. Now, as I was reading Scripture one day, I came across a kind of an obscure passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3. And it says this, "Now, for a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law." And I kind of felt like God was saying to me, he was calling me into the Episcopal Church to call the church back to a real belief in the Word of God and a following of his law. I believe that God can lead each one of us into the discovery of his plan and purpose for our lives if we seek him. Secondly, we can learn from Mary that Mary found favor with God. And just as she found favor with God, we can find favor with God as well through our faith in Jesus Christ. We are fully accepted by God. He gives us his favor as we put our trust in Him. And certainly, as we put our trust in Him, that opens the door for blessings and the power of God to come into our lives. Now, that favor that we receive from God is not based upon our own actions, but it's based upon God's love for us and our faith in Jesus Christ. The third thing we can learn from Mary is that the power of God overshadowed Mary. We, too, can receive the power of God today through what the Bible calls the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we open ourselves up to all the blessings and graces that God wants to give to us. We open ourselves up not only to the power of God, but to the gifts that He wants to give to us. We can be like Mary, full of grace. Next, we see that in Mary, God upheld and affirmed that marriage and bearing children in a marriage relationship between a man and a woman was His will and desire. Mary was betrothed, which was like a pre-marriage contract, meaning that they were legally married even though they had not yet had the wedding ceremony. And so this legally binding marriage caused Joseph to abstain from sexual relations with Mary until after Jesus was born. We read that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 25. We also can learn from Mary that just as the Lord was with her, so too the Lord can be with us as well. As we have our faith in Jesus Christ, He promises never to leave us nor forsake us. And we don't always feel like the Lord is with us. We don't always sense that He's with us. But the promise of God is that He will always be with us. And that can be a great comfort to us at many times in our lives. We also learn from Mary that as we commit ourselves to the Lord as His servant, we open ourselves up to the blessings that God has in store for us as well. Some have asked the question, should I pray to the Virgin Mary? There was a minister who was having lunch with a Catholic friend one time, and he asked him why he prayed to the Virgin Mary. And he answered, it's because she is closer to Jesus than anyone else. She can get His ear and attention. And suppose you wanted to have an interview with the President of the United States. You could not go to him direct. You would have to go through some high official. It's the same way with the coming to God. You must ask Mary to use her influence to get through to God. Well, the minister responded, but suppose that I am the President's son. I live in the White House. I eat at his table. Would I have to go through the high official to get to him? No, I would go straight to him, put my arms around him and make my wishes known. Well, I am a child of God. I don't have to go through a human mediator to get to my Heavenly Father, he said. Jesus said on one occasion, you may ask me for anything in my name. Our Eucharistic service reminds us that what Scripture says is that we have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. Only the Trinity is all-knowing. Only the Trinity is omniscient. And so only the Trinity can hear the prayers of all people at all times. There's no one else in heaven that is omniscient, otherwise they would be equal to God. Paul says this in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Jesus Christ. So while we don't have to pray to the Virgin Mary, we certainly want to honor her. We want to recognize her as the Blessed Virgin, who is the one chosen by God to conceive and give birth to our Savior, Jesus Christ. We honor her because of her obedience. We honor her because of her willingness to not only hear the Word of God, but do what it says. God wants us to be not just hearers of His Word, but doers as well. We also read elsewhere in the New Testament that Mary sang a wonderful song called the Magnificat. She sang, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. We can say perhaps that Mary tested positive for joy. And may we do that as well at this time as we go through these difficult hours in our lives. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for the example of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We thank You for her willingness to obey Your word, to be Your servant, to be willing to do what You say. Lord, may we have the same spirit within us. Lord, we ask that You would fill us with Your Holy Spirit so that we might not only obey your commands and do what you want us to do, but also have the power to make a difference in the world around us as you lead us by your Spirit. Lord, we thank you and praise you that you have given us a reason to have joy in this time in our lives. And that joy is something that we're going to not only celebrate as we celebrate your birth in a few days, but also to continue to celebrate as we recognize all the great things that you have done for us and what you have in store for us as well. We thank you for these things in your name. Amen.